Rules of my nation. To resurrect the Republic, RTR, Truth Radio broadcast on RBN Network. I am your host, Lori Anderson, joined with Lori, Texas 101, and co-host Eric Hughes Jones of Courtroom Observers. Now, I just wanted, right before...
Hold on. I just wanted to correct you. It's the website, in case people want to follow what we do, is actually called courtroomwatch.org. That's courtroomwatch.org. Classically, our group was called Courtroom Observers, and Lori's page with our stuff is called Courtroom Observers. But if you want to go to our actual site, it's courtroomwatch.org. I just wanted to make the correction on that, Lori. Sorry.
Yeah, you're still Courtroom Observers, but your website is courtroomwatch.org. So if everybody hears me say Courtroom Observers, it's still Courtroom Observers, but their website is courtroomwatch.org. So that's an excellent thank you, Eric, for pointing that out.
Thanks,
once
Lori.
Again. Now, not a problem. And Wes, just right before I take your call, I just wanted to say this one more thing for that previous listener who stated that common law was never in the United States of America. I also want you to please look up the Nevada Revised Statute 1.030, application of common law in courts. The common law of England, so far as it is not repugnant to or in conflict with the Constitution and laws of the United States or the Constitution and laws of this state, this is Nevada, by the way, shall be the rule of decision in all the courts of this state. So there is something else for you to also look up. And anybody who is in Nevada, I will also have that on my G+. How are you doing tonight, Wes?
Pretty good. Thanks for taking my call, Lori.
You're very welcome.
The oath for the president to take is under Article 2, Section 1. I believe it's Clause 5 or 6, the last one, but it does not include all enemies, foreign and domestic. I can read it to you if you'd like.
Sure, that'd be great.
I do solemnly swear or affirm, in parentheses, that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability. Ability, by the way, has capital A in front.
Okay.
Preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. This comes from the Citizens' Rule Book. I don't know if it's, you know, perhaps perfect, but like I say, there is a capital on A in ability. But I just wanted to point that out. It would be nice to see all enemies, foreign, domestic, in there, but unfortunately, it's not there. So.
Right. And you know, here's a question, too, and this is something I'll research. I want to thank you for doing that, Wes. I really do. I appreciate that. And what I'm going to research now, because you've really provoked my interest, and it won't be tonight, everybody, because I have not the time to research it, but I will get back with this. I'm going to check that out, and I wonder if that's in the Constitution of the United States, or if it's the same in the Constitution for the United States of America. I wonder if they're the same or different.
Good idea.
So I will check into that. Thank you very much, Wes. So now we know why the foreign and domestic was not in there when President Trump said his oath. However, we will definitely be looking into that, because that should for sure be in there. And I know it was in there with the vice president. So why would it not be in there with the president unless something may, and like I said, I don't know, I have to research it, may have been altered in the one that is basically the bylaws for the corporation. You know, that's a thought. It may have, and it may not have. We don't know. I have to research the historical facts of that, but I will get back on a different night and address that and see what I find out. And thank you very much, Wes, for that. I really appreciate that.
Thank you. Good idea to research it.
Absolutely, I will. Thank you so much for bringing that call in. And now at least we know why. At least we now know it wasn't that it was just intentionally left out. So that's a positive to a point. all right. So I'm going to go to a little bit of other good news. This is also more on the local end. And as you know, we all have been fighting corruption from one end of this union to another. And tens of thousands of drug convictions to be overturned after the state was caught falsifying lab tests. Yes, this was reported January the 20th. After years of injustice, thousands of people wrongfully convicted on drug charges in Massachusetts will finally have their convictions overturned. The ruling centers on drug lab tests were falsified by a state employed chemist named Annie Dokan. This quote, the state's highest court on Wednesday ordered prosecutors to drop a large portion of the more than 24,000 drug convictions affected by the misconduct of a former state drug lab chemist, Annie Dokan, issuing an urgent call to resolve a scandal that has plagued the legal system since 2012. Dokan was imprisoned in 2013 after being charged with a suite of crimes relating to her years-long career of deceit, where she falsified tens of thousands of reports to jail innocent people. She would mark results as positive for illegal substances without actually testing them, even adding cocaine to samples when no cocaine was present. At sentencing, at sentencing, Judge Carol S. Ball stated, quote, innocent persons were incarcerated. Guilty persons have been released to further endanger the public. Millions and millions of public dollars are being expended to deal with the chaos Ms. Dokan created, and the integrity of the criminal justice system has been shaken to the core, unquote. After the shocking revelations, some of the Dokan-tainted convictions were overturned, but when 2017 came around, 24,391 of those convictions still remained. Most of these people were poor and charged simply with possession. Many remained in prison or on parole, and many were denied jobs and housing due to their criminal records. The Massachusetts High Court ruled that each defendant had a right to a hearing, but the cost and logistics of doing so would be unfeasible. Prosecutors sent cryptic, confusing letters to the defendants to supposedly inform defendants of their rights, which prompted the ACLU to get involved. Incredibly, state prosecutors were fighting to keep the convictions in place, despite justices saying these cases involved egregious government misconduct. Despite being victimized by a serial liar under an immoral war on drugs, each defendant had to appeal their case individually. Quote, it's as though the state is almost addicted to prosecuting its way out of the problem of drug abuse, said Matthew Segal, legal director at the ACLU of Massachusetts. Quote, the addiction is so strong that the state won't even walk away from convictions tainted by fraud, and they could walk away. Prosecutors could walk away from these cases right now, unquote. But prosecutors did not walk away, and the state's high court finally put an end to most of the injustice. Quote, the court said district attorneys across the state must exercise their prosecutorial discretion and reduce the number of relevant Dokan defendants by moving to vacate and dismiss with prejudice all drug cases. The district attorneys would not or could not re-prosecute if a new trial were ordered. The cases affected by the ruling include people who pleaded guilty, were convicted, or admitted that prosecutors had enough evidence to convict them. By vacating the cases, the convictions would effectively be erased. The court said defendants whose cases aren't dismissed should receive a notice that their case has been affected by Dokan's misconduct. then any indigent defendants would receive public counsel to explore requests to vacate their pleas or get new trials. Almost all of the defendants convicted of simple possession have already served their jail sentence. Being locked in a cage for a non-crime is enough to scar a person for life, but at least they will not be hindered in the rest of their life by a conviction. And this is what I would say to them if any of them are listening to this show. If you are already out, I would go after 18 U.S. 241, and I would sue the pants off of these people. That's my opinion.
The court's already said that they're trying to get make justice on all these cases wouldn't be feasible. It would cost us too much time and money. Too bad. The government needs to pay out the you-know-what for what they've done to these innocent people. Number two, this is the rule, not the exception. Anybody who tells you, oh, geez, that was one bad apple and we got... This type of criminal activity, and it takes place in many different forms, and the details are different, but it's the same pattern of absolute persecution, lying, and fraud being committed to the point of destroying innocent people's lives. It's going on throughout the entire courts, through the legislators, through the CPS agencies, and, of course, beyond that into the private world as well. So this is this woman who just
got caught. Well, here's my thing. They didn't care how much money it took to put them in there, so they shouldn't care how much money it takes to get them out.
How much money did they make on every one of those cases, bonding every case, then protracting it to make more interest on that bonded case with performance and payment bonds that they sell, bundle up as a fiduciary instrument, and sell to foreign investors? How do you like that? And that's how they make their money, trafficking in the flesh and destroying innocent people. I'll say it again. This is just the woman who got caught. This stuff goes on throughout the entire system. It's full. This is the rule, not the exception. But this was so egregious that they couldn't keep this quiet for any longer. But you can be assured, this is the way government operates 90 to 95% of the time. I've witnessed it, especially in the courts. And I would disagree with one statement of the gentleman from the ACLU. He said something that's typical of attorneys. He said the government thought they were going to prosecute their way out of the drug war. No, they didn't. They knew darn good and well they were going to prosecute their way into a bigger drug war. Nobody in the system is delusional enough to believe that, oh, we're going to just have a lot of prosecutions. That's going to fix the problem. Nobody had that intention. They knew that the drug war would get bigger. The prison population would get bigger. They'd make more money dragging cases through the courts and bonding them. And have these prison building corporations that the judges and police's pension are invested in. Tell me that's not a conflict of interest, to put it nicely. Their future is invested in a prison industry that relies on more people getting incarcerated. They're going to line their pockets by rounding up more people. So this proves what goes on in government. It's got to stop, and people really have to get their, you know, this is as bad as it gets. So you want to live in communist China or Soviet Russia, just sit back and spectate and do nothing. Otherwise, get involved, and you can start doing that by going down to the courts and passing out jury nullification flyers. I think that's the most important thing people can do, because with the recent victory in Oregon with the Bundy boys walking away free men, that was a victory for jury nullification. The message got across. They were writing it on the sidewalks in chalk. I suggested T-shirts and signs. T-shirts are great. You can walk throughout the courthouse with a shirt that says jury nullification. Drives the court nuts. There's nothing they can do. And it educates everybody in the jury pool on jury selection day that they have the right to vote a law as well as the facts of the case. So somebody can walk free even if they're technically guilty if the law stinks and there shouldn't be a law. And of course, as we know, 90 to 95% of these quote-unquote laws and fake statutes have no just constitutional standing.
Right. All right, so we have some more news, and like I said, I'm going to handle some of the good news surely before we get to any bad news, and we may not even get to the bad news tonight. That may just have to be tomorrow. Can you handle some good news for a while? I know I can. All right, so some of the good news.
Oh, boy, I need it, Lori. Go ahead.
All right. President Donald Trump signed an executive order on Monday that reinstated what is known as the Mexico City policy regarding U.S. aid for abortions overseas. Number one, the Mexico City policy prohibits non-government organizations that receive U.S. funds, including International Planned Parenthood from providing or promoting abortions as a method of family planning overseas. The policy also bans these organizations from advocating for the passage of pro-abortion laws in other countries. President Trump has updated the policy by directing the Secretary of State to implement a plan that expands the policy across all global health assistance funding. This means that U.S. taxpayer dollars will not be supporting organizations that promote or participate in the management of a coercive abortion program. The United Nations Population Fund, or UNFPA, for example, is one such organization with a long history of supporting China's one-child population control program, an agenda that has included forced abortions. Mexico City policy does not reduce U.S. foreign assistance. However, it does ensure that those who partner with the United States in providing international aid act to safeguard that abortion is not performed or promoted. The policy does not prevent the U.S. aid from being used for birth control and family planning services overseas. Only abortion and its promotion are not subsidized. The Mexico City policy is a memorandum that was first issued by President Ronald Reagan in 1984 at the United Nations Population Conference held in Mexico City. It has been reinstated by every Republican president via executive order since Ronald Reagan, but rescinded by Democrat presidents. So that is excellent news. We have a situation with that being signed, so some lives just may be saved. And on that same note, a pro-life congressman stood in front of the Capitol along with Janet Porter, the Ohio woman who led the fight for passage of a state's heartbeat bill, all in support of Representative Steve A. King, Republican of Iowa, and his Heartbeat Protection Act of 2017, known as H.R. 490, which restores legal protection to unborn children once their pulse is detected. So that is reported on Breitbart.com. If you wanted to read the rest of that, that is awesome. If it's got a heartbeat, no abortion. Absolutely. So we also have some.
The heartbeat is detected, the baby's protected.
Right, absolutely. And you know, we can get into a later discussion about the issues of women's rights, because I'm telling you, I can go there.
well, you know, we're talking about two people, not one. So we'll do that another time.
Well, the thing is, the woman has a right to do with her own body what she wants to, but when you're aborting, you're not doing it to your body. You're doing it to someone else's body.
Exactly.
You're not doing it to yourself. You're not taking and going to a doctor, and you're not telling the doctor, take off my arm. You're not telling the doctor, stab me in the back of the head. You're not telling the doctor, use this huge vacuum and pull me apart. You're doing that to someone else's body. Thus, it is not what I do with my body is my right. Yes, it is. But I don't see you pouring acid on yourself. You're doing it to somebody else. So that's the end of that
exactly
one discussion.
You're exactly right. The baby is not an appendage like a thumb or a liver. It's another soul.
Right. Absolutely. So on some more good notes, the Trump administration has frozen the Environmental Protection Agency's grants and contracts, according to multiple reports. Now, I want to go here real quick before I read this, because a lot of people are saying, well, Trump is acting like a king. He's writing all these executive orders. Okay, well, let me tell you something. The executive orders that he is writing is actually abolishing the executive orders that created it in the first place. So he is nullifying other executive orders. So therefore, don't come in and act like he's king. No, the one that acted like they were king were the ones who put them in, and many of them were on Obama. Some of them will probably eventually be on Bush and the Clintons and going back further. But so you can't even use that argument, because he is nullifying the other executive orders that were unlawful in the first place. So, as I report, it was reported that incoming EPA administration officials sent out an email Friday to employees of the Office of Acquisition Management to temporarily suspend all contract and grant awards. EPA staff has been told not to discuss the order. Now, this is not unusual, everybody, so don't panic. Myron Ebell, who oversaw the EPA transition for the Trump administration, said the move is not like what has happened in other administrations. It says, quote, they're trying to freeze things to make sure nothing happens that they don't want to have happen. So any regulations going forward, contracts, grants, hires, they want to make sure to look at them first, Ebell told ProPublica on Monday. This may be a little wider than some previous administrations, but it is very similar to what others have done. An EPA contracting officer wrote in a message to a storm rider management employee saying that the agency is just in a holding pattern, according to emails obtained by ProPublica. Right now, we're in a holding pattern. The new EPA administration has asked that all contract and grant awards be temporarily suspended, effective immediately, until we receive further clarification. This includes task orders and work assignments, the email said. The EPA awards $4 billion in funding to government grants and contracts per year. Gee, you think that can help our economy if we abolish the EPA, everybody?
Yeah, it's, I mean, unless I got to look into this deeper, it seems like a no-brainer on the surface. So let's shut it down. And if freeze on anything that government does is excellent. The only thing that they stink up on everything, the only thing they do right is the local guys who plow and fix the streets. I could justify that, local services. But, man, this EPA stuff and the
local
Department of Education and the Department of Commerce, it's all garbage.
You don't need the EPA to say, oh, my gosh, there's some trash over there. Why don't I just pick it up? It's called independence, people. If you see it, pick it up. No problem.
It's an agency that's being used by the globalists and the banking establishment and the Vatican and the powers that be behind your legislators and congressmen to steal up as much land as they can, because it's always the EPA or the Department of the Interior or one of these, you know, BLM, and they're all coming in and saying, you know, gimme. And what did Obama say in his speech? Look at what he said. He said a wide variety of stakeholders believe that this land should be seized, which was one of his last. And I'm pretty sure that Trump's new executive order nullifying that will stand. But we have to make sure that actually, you know, that land is not all of a sudden federalized, because it left, I mean, 99% of Nevada in the hands of the private stakeholders who own the U.S. corporation in their belief, in their mind, they own everything in it, including us. Look at the 1968 amendment to the New York State Constitution that passed something called Escheat, E-C-H-E-S-C-H-E-A-T, Escheat, with an E, and it's in Black's Law. Look it up. It's the reversion of property to the state, the transfer of all private property. New York State literally assumes, when you're trained as an attorney or a state trooper, which enforces all this stuff for the courts, and the judges are all attorneys, they actually believe that they have lawfully legalized the reversion, meaning the transfer of all private property to the state. That's why you can do all the land patents you want, and they really bull right over you in New York. They want those property taxes, because as far as they're concerned, they own your house, they own your car, they own everything you do. There's nothing in their eyes that they do not own, and so we have to really pay attention to what's going on here. We have to make sure the administration is willing to also honor and help people who have been persecuted by the previous administration, lawful status in lawsuits to have recourse under these Title 18 federal civil rights violations that we've been suffering under the hands of the previous administrations. We'll see if that changes or not. Tom's going to be a seminal case. This is huge. He's a reporter. He's very popular in the media. He's very very much an activist as well. There are very few activist reporters. There are a lot of guys that sit around talking about stories that come in over the newswire. But how many guys get out there where the rubber meets the road? Tom does that. Courtroom observers do
absolutely.
That. So anyway, if Tom walks, this is big. There's three that we're focusing on. When Texas Lori said, call on behalf of other patriots as well. The three big ones, and this will help get other people freed as well, because these three big cases will end up setting precedent for the other patriots. So, Cliven Bundy, Pete Santilli, and Tom Lacovara.
Yeah, and let's not forget, when Lori mentioned Michael Emery, Michael Emery was the journalist that was on the ground there, too. He did a phenomenal job.
And I think we should include him. Yes, because this is a First Amendment thing. This is beyond just what was he doing as a patriot out there? Did he have a gun in his hand? Did he not? I mean, this is a real fundamental.
And why does it matter? You have a right to have a gun in your hand. It doesn't matter.
Oh, absolutely.
So anyway.
No, but I'm saying this compounding the problem is now the fact, or, you know, the importance of seeing him walk free is the fact that he, you know, on top of he has an unalienable right to have that gun. There should be no problem with him being armed if he's not threatening or hurting anybody, defending public, our property. The people is us. The state is the state. The state is not the people. We are the people. So anyway, Tom, add Mr. Emery to the list with Pete and Tom and Clive and Bundy. Don't forget, Clive and Bundy's still sitting in Nevada jail waiting for a trial. Tom Lacovara was on his way there.
Hammonds either. Yeah, let's not forget the Hammonds either, because that's the reason the Oregon Hammonds started in the first place.
How can we forget them? I know. Yeah. It's insane that they got pulled back in out of freedom after they had already worked the deal out through the witches' court and everything. And to be
they had already served their time, and then it was like 10 years later, and I may be misquoting on the years, but it was like 10 years after they had served their time, the feds went back after them because they refused to sell their property to them, which
how
we
is
all
that
know is
any different from what happened in Nazi Germany. So don't anybody begrudge me using the word Nazi. I don't do it gratuitously, and there are organizations that are supposedly freedom oriented that don't like the word Nazi being used because it's too inflammatory. And so
that's why I was so tickled when President Trump, he used that statement when the CIA put out the false propaganda. It was leaked from there. It wasn't their document, you know what I'm saying? But they did let it leak. And he said that is something that the Nazis would do, and Hitler would do, and that's not an exact quote. I'll have to get the exact quote.
Exactly.
But it was, because they did use that kind of propaganda. I knew exactly what he meant by that, and he was right.
When the shoe fits, wear it.
Right, exactly, and we're glad to put those shoes on there.
Lori?
So I've got some more good news, everybody.
Lori, or did you all lose me?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, we've lost Lori. Mike on the board?
Okay, can everybody? Okay. So I have some more good news for everybody. Congratulations to Indiana. Toyota is adding 400 jobs, $600 million at an Indiana plant. It was reported January 24th. Toyota is going to add around 400 new jobs at its manufacturing plant in Indiana and make $600 million investment in the factory. Company announced that on Tuesday. The Japanese automaker will use the money to modernize the plant, which is where its Highlander SUV is manufactured. The company also said the investment will pay for advanced technologies and make the plant more competitive. The retooling of the facility will begin in the fall of 2019 and will produce an additional 40,000 Highlander SUVs per year. Thank you to Toyota. Thank you, President Trump. And congratulations, Indiana. We'll be right back with you after a word from our network sponsors.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman App at appsapart.com. That's APPSAPART.com.
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit MyDryHome.com. That's MyDryHome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Resurrect the Republic, RTR, Truth Radio broadcast on RBN Network. I am your host, Lori Anderson, joined with co-host Eric Hughes Jones of Courtroom Observers, and you can find his information at courtroomwatch.org, as well as joined with Lori, Texas 101. And we have been talking about some good news today. So I wanted to say once again, congratulations, Indiana. Now on the next note, before I let you hear this clip, because this is priceless, you know how I love to go off on the fake news, Eric and Lori. You know how that is. Just have to keep reaming them and let them know that we will, no matter what, hold them accountable. Now, many people, as soon as this happened, of course, fake media, they took and twisted what the meaning of what was really going on was. So the new press secretary, he addressed something on the very first statement. And the press secretary, Sean Spicer, came out, and it was all about 5 minutes. And it was wonderful. Well, all of a sudden, the fake media, they think it's President Trump worried about crowd size, when in reality it was not, even though that was one of the things they drew out. So the real intention that you need to know behind what you're getting ready to hear, the real intention is the truth. The real intention has absolutely nothing to do with the actual crowd size. It has to do with reporting the facts. And if you're not going to report the facts, then we're going to dispute your facts and we're going to shine a light on your lies. Because they also lied and said that they had already taken down the bust of Martin Luther King Jr. out of that office. And that was to stir racial tension. That was a blatant, I say it's a lie, okay, because he didn't check. And then allegedly he had to go back and correct it. Oops, I'm sorry. Secret Service must have been standing in the way where I didn't see the bust. You don't put something like that out on Twitter unless you know it is a fact. You're trying to racially divide the country. You're trying to portray him as a racist. It's not working. So the the new White House press secretary, Sean Spicer, well, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. It's so refreshing, and I want to personally say, if he hears me or if the Trump administration hears me, please share this. Please share this with President Trump, as well as Press Secretary Sean Spicer. I want to say excellent job. I want to say it is so nice and refreshing to finally have somebody up there that you can look in the eyes. The eyes are the window to the soul. You know the man's telling the truth. He doesn't put up with the bull. Political correctness is out of the window, and he is expecting reporters to hold to their oath. And I wonder if half of them have ever taken one. I know I have. I've shared it online. I've shared it on this radio show publicly. I'll gladly do it again and read it to the public anytime it is requested. So I want to say excellent job. However, people need to understand it wasn't the point about the numbers that was at the inauguration. It was the point at the fake news in order to completely disrupt and twist everything to make things appear as if they're not the way they are. And they have been doing this to us for years. And I would ask, if you are listening to this, Trump team, please reinstate the Smith Month Act. The Smith Month Act made it to where American media could not propagandize the American citizens. It was demolished, the 2012 NDAA. It allowed the media to propagandize to our people. And I fight for every one of our people. Every one of them. And if you will do that and defund, when there was the situation going on the sequester, $650 million was given towards media organizations. That needs to stop. That needs to stop. But I just want to say excellent job to the White House Press Secretary, Sean Spicer. You made me proud. I've never met you, but I hope one day I am blessed to. Please, Mike, if you would, let's let the public hear exactly how the White House Press Secretary, Sean Spicer, and, of course, the White House put fake news on notice.
Good evening. Thank you guys for coming. I know our first official press briefing is going to be on Monday, but I wanted to give you a few updates on the president's activities. But before I get to the news of the day, I think I'd like to discuss a little bit of the coverage of the past 24 hours. Yesterday, at a time when our nation and the world was watching the peaceful transition of power, and as the president said, the transition in the balance of power from Washington to the citizens of the United States, some members of the media were engaged in deliberately false reporting. For all the talk about the proper use of Twitter, two instances yesterday stand out. One was a particularly egregious example in which a reporter falsely tweeted out that the bust of Martin Luther King Jr. had been removed from the Oval Office. After it was pointed out that this was just plain wrong, the reporter casually reported and tweeted out and tried to claim that a Secret Service agent must have just been standing in front of it. This was irresponsible and reckless. Secondly, photographs of the inaugural proceedings were intentionally framed in a way, in one particular tweet, to minimize the enormous support that had gathered on the National Mall. This was the first time in our nation's history that floor coverings had been used to protect the grass in the mall. That had the effect of highlighting any areas where people were not standing, while in years past, the grass eliminated this visual. This was also the first time that fencing and magnetometers went as far back on the wall, preventing hundreds of thousands of people from being able to access the mall as quickly as they had in inaugurations past. Inaccurate numbers involving crowd size were also tweeted. No one had numbers because the National Park Service, which controls the National Mall, does not put any out. By the way, this applies to any attempts to try to count the number of protesters today in the same fashion. We do know a few things, so let's go through the facts. We know that from the platform where the president was sworn in to 4th Street holds about 250,000 people. From 4th Street to the media tent is about another 220,000. And from the media tent to the Washington Monument, another 250,000 people.
This space
was full when the president took the oath of office. We know that 420,000 people used the D.C. Metro public transit yesterday, which actually compares to 317,000 that used it for President Obama's last inaugural. This was the largest audience to ever witness an inauguration, period, both in person and around the globe. Even the New York Times printed a photograph showing that a misrepresentation of the crowd in the original tweet in their paper, which showed the full extent of the support, depth, and crowd and intensity that existed. These attempts to lessen the enthusiasm of the inauguration are shameful and wrong. The president was also at the Central, as you know, the president was at the Central Intelligence Agency today and greeted by a raucous overflow crowd of some 400 plus CIA employees. There were over 1,000 requests to attend, prompting the president to note that he'll have to come back to greet the rest. The employees were ecstatic that he's the new commander-in-chief, and he delivered them a powerful and important message. He told them he has their back, and they were grateful for that. They gave him a 5-minute standing ovation at the end in a display of their patriotism and their enthusiasm for his presidency. I'd also note that it's a shame that the CIA didn't have a CIA director to be with him today when he visited, because the Democrats have chosen, Senate Democrats are stalling the nomination of Mike Pompeo and playing politics with national security. That's what you guys should be writing and covering. That this, instead of sowing division about tweets and false narratives, the president is committed to unifying our country, and that was the focus of his inaugural address. This kind of dishonesty in the media, the challenging that bringing about our nation together is making it more difficult. There's been a lot of talk in the media about the responsibility to hold Donald Trump accountable. And I'm here to tell you that it goes two ways. We're going to hold the press accountable as well. The American people deserve better, and as long as he serves as the messenger for this incredible movement, he will take his message directly to the American people, where his focus will always be. And with that, a few other updates from the day. The president had a constructive conversation with Prime Minister Trudeau of Canada about strengthening the relationship between our two nations. They also discussed setting up additional meetings in the days to come, which we will follow up on. He also spoke to Prime Minister Peña Nieto of Mexico and talked about a visit on trade, immigration, and security.
So let's do the headline, the very first on-camera headline.
The president has welcomed his first foreign leader this Thursday when the United Kingdom's Theresa May will come.
All
right, everybody. So he once again straightened out their lies, and what they didn't get, they kept on, oh, he's obsessed with the numbers. No, he's not. Understand, it has nothing to do with the numbers. It has to do with he's obsessed with truthful reporting. That's what we've all been tired of, the fake news. So great job to the White House. great job to Press Secretary Sean Spicer, and I want to thank you for looking people in the eyes, because for 8 years we have watched as individuals have stood at that podium and couldn't look people in the eyes because they knew that they were not telling the truth to the American people. And I just want to give you a hat tip. I give kudos where kudos is due, no matter what end of the coin that is on. So here is some more good news. We know that we've been exposing Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, and all of that for years. So, oh my goodness, this is great. Another positive note. Trump signs orders reviving the pipeline projects. TransCanada says that it will reapply for Keystone. So the excellent news on that. It says President Trump signed executive orders on Tuesday, effectively reviving the controversial Keystone XL and Dakota Access pipelines. As a major builder, said that it will reapply to build one of the projects, which has been stalled by the Obama administration under pressure from the environmental and other groups. The president said these projects would be subject to a renegotiation of the terms, but he made clear the government was resuming consideration for both pipelines, describing them as a potential boon to construction workers. Quote, "We are going to put a lot of steel workers back to work," Trump said. "We'll build our own pipelines. We will build our own pipes." Builder TransCanada said Tuesday afternoon that it was preparing the application for the Keystone XL pipeline. Quote, "We appreciate the President of the United States inviting us to reapply for the KXL," TransCanada spokesman Terry Khanna said in a statement. "KXL creates thousands of well-paying construction jobs and would generate tens of millions of dollars in annual property taxes to counties along the route, as well as more than $3 billion to the U.S. GDP," Khanna added. According to the White House, Press Secretary Sean Spicer, Trump directed agencies to approve it without delay and told agencies to expedite reviews and approvals for the remaining parts of the Dakota project. Now, I'm not going to go any further in that. Of course, it will be on my G+, but I also want to add a lot of individuals are kind of iffy because of the Dakota pipeline protest. I want you to research that, because originally that pipeline, it is a private company, first of all. It's not the federal government. It is a private company, and the private company wanted to originally run the pipeline through the Native American land. They offered $44 million. The natives turned it down and wanted more. Now, when the private company refused to pay more, they then rerouted and figured out how to do it without touching Native American land, went over towards and onto rerouting that pipeline onto the American Army Corps of Engineer land. Now, I want to say something here. A lot of people think it's because they're worried about their drinking water. There is already a current pipeline running right through Army Corps of Engineers land right beside where they want to run this pipeline. The water thing is not the issue. When you research who is really behind this quote-unquote protest, MoveOn.org, Soros-funded, pro-UN Agenda 21 individuals, which, of course, suck other people in because it makes them think it's the same type of situation that is in Oregon or in Nevada, but it's really, truly not the same thing. The Nevada issue, the Oregon issue, is from the feds trying to take over state lands. This is a private company who is trying to run a pipeline which would help us gain our resources all across America without a problem of moving our oil on the trains. Now, I'm not going to go into too much more detail than that, but I will tell you that is why I'm happy about this right here. Now, on top of that, Lori has some information that she found out today, and it actually has a lot to do with this right here. So if you would, Lori, tell the people what you told me earlier today.
I want to add one thing if I could, please, Lori.
Sure.
I'm part Indian, as some of you guys know.
Mm-hmm.
And
me too.
The Indians signed a couple of years ago all their rights and wanted to be American citizens. So all of this that they're trying to do, they don't have the same stance as Clive and Bundy and the Bundys and the other ranchers out to the west. They signed their rights away in a treaty. So it's truly the Agenda 21 and a bunch of knuckleheads that haven't read the legislation behind it, behind this fight. It may be a just fight in some cases, but they signed their rights over. Mm-hmm. What Lori was talking about, I actually have a friend that's a trucker, and I wanted to read to you what he wrote on his Facebook post today without revealing who he is. He said, "Thanks, President Trump. In Alabama, Mississippi, and Arkansas, combined, there is 60 loads posted for every flatbed truck today on their system. Same thing in Montana and South Dakota. This is a direct result of signing the pipeline deals." So they are actually seeing the work now, and once the oil and gas industry goes up, you're going to see all of the manufacturing jobs, because they're mainly manufacturing is your auto and auto tech, military, and your oil and gas industry. So you're going to see a lot more of the manufacturing starting to build up from this one.
And I just say congratulations to our truckers. You know, many people don't have enough respect for our truckers. You need to realize everything that goes on in America, really, we really depend on our truckers. Many people don't realize our truckers, they bring in our food to the grocery stores. People, our grocery stores have 3 days worth of food. Our
That's
truckers,
it.
They bring in the gas.
And the government no longer has stockpiles of food that they used to keep on hand in previous decades in case mm-hmm. of some kind of disaster, emergency, war, whatever. But it's mm-hmm. all gone. And basically, people, what do you got after right. 3 days? What do you got? And it better be enough to keep you going, because you don't want to have to go out and steal other people's stuff. And if you're not prepared, it's going to be a sticky situation with many people becoming dependent on the mm-hmm. very government that wants to enslave them. So they'll engineer all kinds of crises and make commodity shortages. And don't forget what started the quote-unquote Arab Spring, which was nothing but an intelligence operation orchestrated yeah. through the stock market. It really started with the jacking of food prices, food riots, and basically riots against government corruption and persecution. And so as soon as the food prices start going up.
The Arab Spring was connected to Soros, too.
Oh, absolutely. No, these are funded yeah. agitators. I know, but it's a multi-pronged front, and part of it was escalating food price. Food control of the food supply, i.e. Codex Alimentarius, which is mm-hmm. a century-old plan to control the world food supply, because the powers that we're trying to that are still trying to conquer the world, mm-hmm. and this is an ongoing plan. Know that it's too overt and too difficult to try to take over with bullets and cannons and troops. Mm-hmm. Much easier to control to take over nations through the food supply, and so that's mm-hmm. why it's very important that people get themselves settled. You know, it's cheap to buy rice and beans. And some salt, and at least you've got staples in case of a pinch. So, but it's good to bring that up, Lori. Preparation is always positive.
Oh, you know, absolutely. We'll go over that. Yeah, we'll go over that.
You must watch and pray.
Yeah. So I want to say this. President Trump, I appreciate so far, and I hope this continues, of you keeping your word. He has already signed an executive order against Obamacare, halting fines. We'll have to go into more of this tomorrow, because we're limited on time, and I want to get some other information out there. He's already done away with the TPP. Excellent job, President Trump. Keystone, back up. Steel workers' jobs are coming back. The climate change EPA pusher, the EPA climate change pushers and global warming agenda 21-2030 is looking like we might have a little bit of a breather away from that. Things are definitely going in a good direction. Tons of different businesses now are coming and expanding their jobs or coming back to the States. And he's only been officially president of the United States for 4 days now. So I am extremely excited. We will continue to pray for not only the president of the United States of America, but each and every individual that is in there, and every person and individual that is within our union. So tomorrow we will be covering a lot of things that I wasn't able to get to tonight, but the globalists are in panic mode. The Patriot movement is raising strongly around the globe, and these are individuals who are running for leaders in their countries. And we'll get to you on that tomorrow from France, the Netherlands, and Germany. So the old world order is what I will now call what used to be the new world order, new international order, liberal world order, whichever one that they used to want to do it. The new name that I will be calling that from now on is the old world order. And on that note, Eric, let's go ahead and give out the information one more time, how we can help Tom, who we need to contact. And let's also try to remember, let's donate to Lori and Tom, everybody. Lori needs to get to Oregon. She doesn't have the funds to do it. She needs our help. So please donate at tomlecovera@gmail.com through PayPal, or you can go to resurrecttherepublic.com. And click on that donate button. Eric, if you would, give out that information.
Well, the number for the newly appointed sub-vicar to Tom's case, personally to Tom's case, is his name, Mr. Walsh. He's still subservient to the vicars, though, Peter Smith and Pat Brennan. They're the vicars of Oregon. The number is 503-234-5334, emergency phone blitz, classic courtroom observers phone blitz. They work. They 9 times out of 10, the charges will get dismissed massively or reduced massively or dismissed, and the jail doors will swing open. 9 times out of 10, if the public pressure is massive enough, they will cave, but there has to be tons of calls. They're not going to do it for a couple of dozen. Hundreds and hundreds. 503-234-5334. 503-234-5334. Call. Be polite, but be firm. We want Tom LaGuevara released immediately. You got to use the name Tom LaGuevara. They're going to run around dancing in circles. They won't be able to find him, and just cut right to the chase so they can know who you're talking about. And call them and require
that
Tom be released immediately.
Hold on, Eric.
Eric,
yep.
Christian name, Thomas Robert.
Yep.
Surname, LaGuevara, the name that
there
creeps.
You go. Okay, Christian name, Thomas Roberts. Corporate name, Thomas LaGuevara. That's probably what they're holding him under. I want to make sure we get the right person and people actually get their voice heard by the vicars and by the sheriff. Once again, the number for the vicars, 503-234-5334. What do you say when you call? Well, I would suggest this. Number one, show us a living victim, a man or woman who was done harm by Tom LaGuevara. They can't do it. They cannot claim
no,
the
Eric,
state can...
Eric. No. We want
what do you want them to say, Lori?
We want the living man released. He's a temple, and we want to claim our property back.
Okay, if that's what you want, then go ahead. That's fine. I would also add, no victim, no crime, and there was never possession proven in the charges, so there is no charge. Those are the two things I would add to that.
We just want to claim the temple.
Just the temple. We want to claim our property back. That's all we need, and that's all he needs.
Okay.
All right. That's good.
All right. For everybody, I want to say thank you so much for joining us tonight. We'll be back with you tomorrow night. As always, watch your backs and check your facts. God bless you and good night.
Welcome to the place of the left's hypocrisy. Oh.
photo ops.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.